Well, we're here again today on April 2nd, 2010. We had a minute here after lunch. We just went to the Peach Blossom and thought we'd pick up with Pop's life story. I'm trying to remember where we quit yesterday. I believe you told me a little bit about your modified days, and you had won the U.S. Gulf Coast Championship in 1950. Was that right?
In 1950. They said no one had ever been there and outrun his drivers, and so he traded with us, and for the second time, I'd already been down one time and outrun them, and so they said they'd have to have another shot at me at a longer racetrack, longer race, which we only ran 30 laps the first time, and this time they're going to run 75. Wound up. We went back there. I had a little 49 Oldsmobile, and we hooked a race car behind it, and it was had the alcohol and the wheels and the tires and the shoebox all in the back of it. And there wasn't no one but Dot and D.O. And wound up, we got there, and we ran the race. About halfway through the race, they had to stop it. And they started me in the rear again that time, and which wasn't right because they started everything on a point system, and I didn't race there enough to have any points. So wound up... They stopped the race because two guys were swimming out of the lake. Now, the back straightaway for Mobile there was the dam. Actually, it went through the spillway onto the back straightaway, which was the dam. And somehow or another, those two cars got tangled and went into the lake. And I asked that flagman, I said, man, that's great. That guy jumped in there saving that driver. He says, saved him. Heck, he said, he's saving himself. Said, there's two of them in there. So we restarted the race. I was already up, had moved from last to fourth. And I guess it was approximately 30 or 40 laps. It already passed by. And so I took the lead over, I guess, with about 10 or 15 laps to go. And I won the 75 lapper. But the funny part about that, this car... It was a six-cylinder with three carburetors on it, and I run it on alky and nitro. And wound up, you had to push it off, the crank it. And Dot was, I guess you could say, my crew chief. She was pushing me off. Every time we had to start the race, she had to come out with that little Oldsmobile and run in the back bumper of it and push me off to start.
So you were driving your Dodge race car, right? But you had an Oldsmobile. You had to use the.
That was our tow vehicle, the Oldsmobile.
Gotcha. What year was that?
In 1950.
And in the back straightaway of the racetrack, bordered the dam of a lake.
It was on the dam. The back straight was on the dam itself. And
what lake was that?
I don't know. I don't remember what lake it was.
I'm sure that racetrack's no longer there. I can't imagine they'd be racing on that
just,
dam.
I just don't know. But it was a real good racetrack. Had a lot of spectators.
Yeah.
A lot of spectators.
Did that win earn you a lot of national attention?
Yes, I guess it did. And because he actually brought a couple of his guys up here to run against us down at Columbia and Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah.
They come out here on two different occasions.
And tell me about the Charlotte. You said you were racing a lot at Charlotte. What was that racetrack like?
Charlotte had a half mile track that also had a lake in the middle of it.
Yeah,
that was out at the fairground on the north side of Charlotte, and we raced there mostly on Friday nights, and then if it's going to be a big race or something other, we still ran on Friday nights. They did run some Grand Nationals there later on, on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. What was your favorite racetrack back in those days, or did you have one?
Well, I didn't. I just loved them all.
Yeah.
I never did have one that I really hated to drive, because every one of them was a different challenge, yeah. And I love challenges.
Yeah. What about Spartanburg at this point in time, the fairgrounds here? What was happening at the fairgrounds here? Anything?
I guess Spartanburg was one of the hardest racetracks to drive because it didn't have much bank at all. Mm-hmm. I'd say just maybe a foot or so of banking was all it was on that dirt track, and it would get hard and dry slick. And it was awful hard to stay in the racetrack.
Yeah. But it was a track you were racing at frequently during this period as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we raced there a lot on Saturday nights.
Gotcha.
Also during the fair we raced all this back during the...
And were you making a little bit of money at this point in your career or no?
It wasn't no losing proposition for me like it was with some people because I maintained my own car and built my own car. And then I only worked on it at night while I did business with my customers during the daytime.
So at this point, you had moved away from Mr. Bland and the mechanic up in Charlotte, and you were doing most of your own stuff at this point?
I had a bad wreck in 1951.
Yeah.
And they had already decided they wanted to get out of the racing business, and I had bought this car they had sold it to a couple of guys out of Columbia, and I'd run it once or twice for them, and then we blew the engine, and I bought the car anyway, and I had started fixing the car then, and we had a crack in one of the intake valve seats, and Willie Thompson, who was Buddy Schumann's mechanic, was one of the better mechanics long back in those times. And he said he could fix that block for me if I wanted to come up there one morning. So wound up, he said, you meet me at 7 o'clock and I'll fix it before 8 o'clock for you. And I can go on back to my regular job, which was with doing work for Schumann. Yeah. So I did that. I had it tore down and ready to fix, and he fixed it there, and it didn't take him long. And then I took it on over to Joe Rumps and put it back together. And Joe had some guy that come in there and redid my carburetors for me.
Yeah.
And he actually got them a little bit too rich using that alcohol. And warm up, I was running real rich, but I was still running good.
Yeah.
And about that time, here come Willie in with Buddy Schumann's car, which was a number one car back then. In fact, I'd say it was really number one race car the way it was built. And he said, Schumann called and said, take my car out there for you to drive tonight. And I said, Willie, I said, I want to drive mine if any way possible. I said, the thing is running. I said, all I got to do is lean it down a little bit. And I said, I'll be in good shape. And I said, you just drive the car. Don't get in no hurry with it. Just ride around with it. And I says, it'd be worthwhile of bringing it out here. Well, I didn't know at the time, but he got pretty wild there before the race got, because he got, I guess, people aggravating him about driving. And anyway, he went out with the car during the race, and he flipped it coming off of number four. And I don't know how many times he flipped it. Don't have no idea. But I had just took the lead over going down the back straightaway because I was really flying that night. Mm-hmm. And I went past two cars going through three and four on the outside, and come off of number four, and there he was in the middle of the racetrack, and people running out into the racetrack from the grandstand. So... instead of following that car through the outside of it there, and they filled the space up with me, I said, I'll go around the other side. So I flipped the car to go around the back side of him, and the car that I had just lapped in the corner there hit me in the left side and turned me straight through him. So I actually run through his car, running wide open, and went on down and hit the bandstand, and that's when the stern all came up and hit me in the face, and and broke my neck and knocked my eyes out.
What year was this?
That was 1951.
And what racetrack was that?
That was at the fairground in Charlotte.
In Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Hmm. And you were in the hospital for a lengthy period of time?
Quite a while, and got back out and rebuilt the car.
Yeah.
And wound up, I kept the car all the way up to, we started running some modified championship races at the Concord Speedway, which was a half mile dirt that Bruton Smith, he'd bring in a car from all over the United States for the U.S. Modified Championship.
Right.
I actually ran four of them and won three of them and was leading the other and then broke a spinal.
So of four U.S. Modified Championship races that were held, you won three of them.
I won three of them and was leading the fourth one and broke a spinal.
Would they hold one a year or were there more?
One a year there.
Were they holding these races in other areas too, or was it just?
I don't know of anybody else because when he called it that, he added so much money to it that he got all these other drivers and he had monstrous crowds.
Bruton Smith was promoting this?
Bruton Smith was the promoter.
How about that? Huh. Well, there's a nice picture in your house that shows you sitting on top of your car after you won, and I remember the caption underneath it. It says, although I don't remember exactly what it says, it says something to the effect that sometimes the more a driver wins, the more he's disliked. But they said that wasn't the case with you, that you were a fan favorite, even though you won a good bit. Why do you think that was?
I guess it's because I didn't run over many people. I drive around them. I'd work a man down to the inside of the racetrack, and then I'd catch him napping, and I'd pass him on the outside. And in fact, I'd done a guy that way in Hendersonville, North Carolina. He had a Lincoln engine in a 39 Ford, and it had all sorts of torque. And my car was a high winder. I had to turn a lot of RPMs with the Hemi engine in that modified. And he beat me off the corner, but I'd run him and beat on him going into the corner. So I kept beating on his left rear bumper. And I worked him down to where he could get real low in the corner. And I just backed out real quick going into that corner that next lap. And I went by him on the outside. And he's looking over his shoulder to see where I was at. And I done gone.
Yeah. These national or U.S. Modified Championship races, you said there were big crowds. I assume lots of people from all over coming to try to win that race. How many cars would enter such a race?
I don't know, but let's take all the cars that they ran at Daytona. See, when I won it in 53 and 54, we started over 120 cars there on the beach.
So that was not a quote-unquote national championship race, but it was the modified race at Daytona. As part of the big show down there, would they also hold a Grand National race as well?
Yeah, they were running Grand Nationals on Sunday, and yeah. Before that, they would run the modified races and sportsmen together.
I see.
Which that was cars with one carburetor, and the other cars with fuel injection and multi-carburetors and all sorts, which they really call it a sportsman modified championship race.
Right.
But I won 53 and 54 in that.
Well, you know, we hear a lot about your 1957 Grand National beach win. I don't think I know a whole lot about those two modified beach wins. Do you remember much about those races?
I sat on the pole in the first one, and then I had two guys in Chevrolets with Cadillac engines in it. They beat me qualifying in the second one in 54. But wasn't no problem with them. They never had raced at the beach, and when they backed off to go in the north turn, I run by them so fast that they jumped back in the throttle, and I was already under control when I run by them anyway, and I went through the corner, and I left them sitting up there spinning, so when I went down the back straightaway, it wasn't nobody but me.
So even in the second race, did you lead that race from start to finish, to your knowledge, or...?
As best I knowledge, I might have got passed once or twice there, right off the go there, while we were fighting. But yeah. I know from the halfway point on, nobody could catch me.
What were you driving in those races?
It was my modified with the Hemi engine in it.
And they'd start how many cars?
It was 120-something from a dead standstill, and I believe it was seven wide, seven side by side.
Seven cars wide?
Seven side by side.
Wow. Well, what do you remember about driving on the beach as far as what you had to do to navigate that course successfully?
It was really a challenge. In fact, I loved the beach because you broadside so far going into number one turn that you didn't use any brakes in the north turn, but boy, you really had to have the brakes in the south turn. I never did use brakes in the north turn. It just, I pulled the car sideways and killed the engine. I mean, kill it that way. And through, when I get it slow enough, I'd run into through the gears then. But the south turn, you'd have to use brakes. And, in fact, I was out of brake in the 57 race when I won it.
Were you? You would have to downshift you were having to downshift and then go through the gears again as you went back on the straightaways?
Both turns, you downshift and went back up through the gears to your top RPM.
Yeah. And the ruts that were in the turns, I've heard you say before they'd swallow up a car.
They would, going in the middle of number one turn there, man. It'd get 1-2 foot deep because it wasn't nothing but sand, and them cars would throw it out of there in a hurry.
Okay. You told me a story one time about seeing a very unfortunate accident where a wreck involved a car catching on fire. What race was that in?
That was the 1956 race at Daytona in the modified division. Going down the back straightaway, Banjo was beating me with the Lincoln Ford that day, and I was running second, and I run up on this car that was jumping from one side of the road to the other, and about that time he hit a car that was in front of him, and when he did, that car busted into flame, and when it did, I just locked mine down with brakes and cut it left and went out into the palmettos.
In the infield?
Well, there wasn't no infield. Yet it was. It was, yeah. It was a shoulder there between it and the beach. All scrubbery and all that kind of stuff.
And too thick for spectators or anything?
Yeah, well, they still come across there.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of snakes and stuff in there, so yeah. you didn't tarry out there long.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I stopped, I was on the beach side of the road, facing south, and he was on the beach side of the road facing north, like I had run over him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on fire.
Although you never touched him.
I never touched him, man. Right. I was about off 2-3 car lengths apart. But it looked like I had run over him. And he jumped out on fire. And time I hit the ground, he run across the road in front of the race cars, and I had the momentary wait. Mm-hmm. I chased him down and went out into the palmettos there, and I got him down and trying to cover him with sand to put the fire out, and because his clothes was all burning, and I couldn't cover him up, so I picked him up, brought him back up side the road there, which was soft sand, and put the fire out, and asked him, you know, was okay. He said, well, am I burnt? I said, you burnt pretty bad, but I believe you're going to be all right. And I looked around then and saw my car on fire. From his car, caught my car on fire. So by then there's a lot of people there, and I told them just keep him sitting there till the ambulance got there. Guy was still, he was conscious. He hadn't lost no conscious. And so I processed it then and put my car out.
Yeah. We're talking about Pop racing on the beach. Do you remember going to the beach?
To the beach.
You remember seeing where Pop raced on the beach?
North turn.
Enough turn.
Did you like that beach? Would you like to see him race there?
Yeah.
And we watched that movie about him racing.
We watched a movie about him racing.
That was neat, wasn't it?
That was neat.
Daddy?
And so he,
let's finish
you went back to your car and then?
I fought the fire, you know, by putting sand on the fire. And people pulling on me, you going to the hospital. I didn't know and never had experience till I got a chance to see myself how another human's flesh could stick to you and you actually look worse than he did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had his flesh all over me from picking him up and bringing him up beside the road and putting him out, you know, and talking to him. And that's the reason they were pulling on me to go to the hospital. I said, that's the man over there is hurt. I said, he's the one that got to go to the hospital. Well, about that time, Joe, Little John, and Bill France Sr. came up and wanted to know what was wrong. And come on, get in this. Well, they had the little Chevrolet sedan deliveries, and I got in the back of that little sedan delivery with them, and we went up the beach, and you want to know what happened, and I told him all about it. And that was the first time I'd actually got to look at myself to know how bad I really looked.
Yeah.
Because I looked like I had been on fire myself. Yeah. Because I guess I was black and had his flesh on me. And
although you weren't hurt at all.
And I wasn't hurt at all. And I went over, docked myself, went over to see him that night, and he died about 11 o'clock that night.
And you don't remember his name?
I don't even remember his name because he was from Miami, and I guess that was probably his first time at the beach.
I bet you that's probably a name we could find out with a little research, just out of curiosity.
I would say so, probably. His family came there, and I explained to him that, you know, I didn't run over the car. I did know who it was, and I did not tell him who it was.
Yeah.
Because the man is dead now.
Yeah.
That ran over him, and he never to this day, as far as I know, ever mentioned that wreck.
Yeah. Some of the names you just mentioned, like, for instance, Joe Littlejohn, I hear you talk about him with a lot of respect. A man who I get the impression from you may not have really got his due as to the promoter and influence he was. What would you say about Joe Littlejohn?
Joe Littlejohn had an extra good sense of humor, and he weighed out all the things possible before he ever opened his mouth. And in 1947, somewhere along in there, we had a race organization right here in South Carolina, and which was, I forgot, South Carolina Racing Organization, and he was the promoter of it. He's the one that formed it, and so when NASCAR came along, Bill got with him, and we all went to NASCAR then. In other words, he gave us the NASCAR, and helped form NASCAR, and You could say he was one of the fathers of former NASCAR along with Bill France, because he was there, and Bill come and stayed constant, spent nights with him. And and one thing getting further away from that now, also, when Fort Talladega bit, Bill France came here and stayed with him till they worked out a deal to put Talladega right here in Spartanburg.
Yeah.
And it got turned down. Now, this all happened before Little John died later on, you know.
Yeah. Little John was a part of that meeting, famed meeting that took place in that hotel in Daytona, was he not? Where technically NASCAR found its name and roots and whatnot?
Very definitely so, and you know, and he carried us along with him. Far as name, we didn't intend to meeting or nothing, but we were there.
Yeah. Some of the other characters back then, Pop, that you hear mention, some of the beach teams and whatnot, I guess probably your competitor, like the mechanic Smokey Unick. What would you say about him?
Well, you had a lot of cars out of Daytona there. You had Fish Carburetor had four modified cars, four of them, and Smokey had a modified. Fireball, he was from Daytona, and he was a good friend, and it's just, I don't know, you look forward to going there every year.
Yep.
Because it was like a little vacation, and everybody enjoyed themselves.
Yeah. There was a much different type of camaraderie amongst the competitors back then.
Oh yeah, it's tooth and nail, boy. I tell you, you had to be sharp to beat some of them guys.
Yeah, but yet you all seemed to get along pretty well.
Oh yeah, because we was always constant trying to outdo one another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, who else would you say was great back then?
Well, you had Marshall Tigg, who was also from Daytona, who drove Indianapolis. And also, when they opened up the Speedway there in 1959, he was there trying to run 180 mile an hour for $10,000, and it cost him his life.
He died trying to do that?
Tried doing that, yeah.
Before the first race?
This was during the Speed Week.
Hmm. What happened to him?
He was driving an Indianapolis car, I think it got partially airborne and flipped it.
The 1957 race, obviously we have a video of that tells a lot, but I mean, that was a special race, one that really, I know it was Pontiac's first win. And what? Tell me about that race.
Well, that was the second race Pontiac had participated at the beach in 1956. They called me and wanted to know if I wanted to drive a Pontiac there, and I said sure, but it'd be a week later before I could get there. And so wound up, I came down the last week of the race because it started 2 weeks ahead of time back then, and I don't know who qualified the car, but I had never seen the car till I got there and started the race.
That's it.
Wound up. Where were we at?
Well, you had said that you came down 2 weeks early, and someone else had qualified the car, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I don't know who qualified it for me, but anyway, they started to drop the flag, and I went up the second and behind Tim Flock, and I run him pretty hard till we lost the fan belt and overcooked the engine. So I guess that was the reason they called me to run the next race there in 57.
Yeah. And you and Banjo were part of a team for Mr. Nichols, is that right?
Ray Nichols called me before Thanksgiving Day in 19... 56 to run the beach in 57, and wanted to know if I'd be interested. And I said I sure would, but I'd have to have a little say so in help building the car.
Right.
And he said that'd be no problem. And he says come on up here and we'll get everything squared away. Well, he called me later there before I left to bring him another race driver and to come on up there. So I went in there, and Ray had two cars there, and we sat there and talked, and got everything ironed out, what we really needed. Because Ray, he was wanting all that knowledge because he had never run a stock car at Daytona, or anywhere, I don't suppose, as far as that goes, and wound up... He was looking for help, so he welcomed Banjo and myself because Banjo was building race cars, and I was too.
Yeah. And Banjo actually out-qualified you?
He out-qualified me because my timing was screwed up on my car.
Yeah. And he tried to, once you got your car right, he wanted your setup, right?
He wanted an engine just like I had, and... that's what we actually race with.
Yeah, yeah. And the race itself, I think you pretty much led from the get-go, if I'm not mistaken.
I led, I'd say, more than two-thirds of the race. I took the lead on the very first lap.
Yeah, yeah.
From back in fifth spot. When I come out on the beach, going up the beach, I was in fifth place. But when we went to the north turn, I was first.
Yep. And winning that... The Harley Earl Trophy, was that, I mean, I know that had to be a special win for you.
That really was, because that was a beautiful trophy, and Bill says that needs to be in the office at NASCAR for everybody to see. I said, it sure does. So he took the trophy and put it in the NASCAR's.
And you never did get a replica or anything of it?
No, I really didn't. Yeah. I sure didn't.
Yeah. So do you have anything at all that commemorates that win other than the pictures and those kinds of things?
Just the pictures of it and so forth. Of Harley presenting it to me, and Ray Nichols was there, and Bunky Newsom, and Harley Earl, and Cahill. What'd she do?
I don't know, but I think we're going to have to call it quits today. And she's all right. That was another half hour well spent, and thank you, and we'll keep talking next time we can catch up.
All right.